Good evening. Here is the 10 p.m. news with Harrison Ashutiku. First, the headlines. The Prime Minister, Joseph Diongute, has reiterated Cameron's preference for a two-state solution to the Israel-Palestine conflict. The President of the National Communication Council calls on talk show moderators and presenters of interactive programs to remain professional in the discharge of their duties. The flag bearer of the Cameroon Paralympic team, Dazi Marie Antoinette, will open her medal chase in the Paralympic Games in Paris tomorrow. The news in full. The Prime Minister, head of government, has reiterated Cameroon's preference for a two-state solution as the best answer to the conflict between Israel and Palestine. Joseph Diongute was speaking today in Yaoundé while representing President Paul Biya at the opening ceremony of the 50th Council of Foreign Ministers of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC. The meeting, to run for 2 days, is holding under the theme Development of Intra-OIC Transport and Communication Infrastructure, Major Instrument in the Fight Against Poverty and Insecurity. Star Building correspondent Christian Chiatam reports.
The Foreign Affairs Ministers of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, are meeting in Yaoundé at a time when international diplomacy is marred by the war in Gaza, the conflict in Ukraine, and the persecution of minority Muslim communities in some parts of the world. The rostrum of the Yaoundé Conference Center was thus used as a launch pad to call for action and commitment in addressing the plight of Muslims during the opening ceremony of the 50th OIC Council of Foreign Ministers. The president of the 49th session of the council, the president of the Muslim summit, but equally the secretary general of the OIC, Hissein Brahim Taha, took turns in calling for the international community to show more commitment in addressing the plight of Muslims and in putting an end to the violence and persecution. The three speakers also underscored the importance of the theme of the Yaoundé meeting. They said it is crucial for OIC countries to foster links in transport and communication infrastructure in order to boost education, healthcare, and economic growth. In his official opening speech, the Prime Minister, head of government, representing President Paul Biya, presented Cameroon's formula to secure sustainable peace in the Middle East. Joseph Diongute said the country stands for a two-state solution between Palestine and Israel, with borders to be supervised by the international community. He said Cameroon believes this can be achieved through genuine dialogue and consultations. Joseph Diongute also highlighted the importance of tightening transport and communication links amongst OIC member countries for rapid economic growth. In this light, he said the Dakar Port Sudan Railway project must be given special attention. He also underscored Cameroon's attachment to the OIC, dating back to 1974, when the country joined the organization and was the first to benefit from funding by the Islamic Development Bank. The opening ceremony of the 50th OIC Council of Foreign Ministers meeting, attended by the 57 member countries of the organization, witnessed the election of Minister Mbela Mbela as chair of the session. Christian Chiatam, CRTV.
The outgoing British High Commissioner to Cameroon has reassured the Ministry of Transport of the Minister of Transport of his country's commitment in accompanying Cameroon to modernize and address challenges in the transport sector. Barry Lowen was speaking in Yaoundé today during a farewell audience granted to him by the Minister of Transport, Jean-Ernest Masenangalebibe. In the following excerpt of an interview, Barry Lowen comes back to some of the issues discussed during the audience. He was interviewed by Colette Jenny.
We discussed the challenge of the abuses of registration of ships and its damaging impacts for us all. And we built on our previous exchanges to agree that we should now move to deeper expert-to-expert discussion with a view to developing further our cooperation in this important area. And we also discussed wider aspects of our relationship, and I took the opportunity to present to His Excellency our business guide, which aims to inform companies in both countries of commercial opportunities, because economic growth is a priority for us all, which will benefit people in both countries.
The president of the National Communication Council has reminded talk show moderators and presenters of interactive programs of some media houses in Yaoundé about their responsibility to control panelists from going off track during such programs. Joe Chabonken Kalabubse was speaking to reporters in Yaoundé after a coffee tour of some of the media houses on the satellite in the nation's capital. Here is an excerpt of his declaration selected for us by Rigobert Mania.
I wanted to have a feel of what is happening in the newsroom concerning the conception and packaging and delivery of interactive and debate programs. And from what we observe on a weekly basis, we had to move out to the newsrooms to be able to talk to journalists and program moderators. The unprofessional attitudes which we watch almost every weekend. And what we've noticed is we have had people with receptive ears, others wanting to defend why they do what they do. And we listened carefully. And our advice to them is if you remain professional, you can do what you want to do and will not fall into the dragnet of the media regulators that we are.
The president of the National Communication Council, Joe Chebonkem Kalabubse. Stakeholders in the livestock and fishery development project known by the acronym LIFIDEP in the Northwest region have officially closed the first phase of the project with a resounding success of over 97% realization. Details to Jolenta Rosa Fangwi.
The members of the Livestock and Fisheries Development Project, LIFIDEP, detailed that despite the prevailing social unrest in the Northwest, phase one of the project witnessed achievements in several sectors ranging from the production and development of infrastructures at the technical, social and market levels, the building of capacities, acquisition and distribution of inputs to stakeholders, to name a few. Northwest Governor Adofilele Afrik mentions that a project sponsored by the Cameroon government and the Islamic Development Bank has improved the lives of the inhabitants in different sectors.
That projects have improved a lot in the domain of livestock, fisheries and agriculture in the Northwest region, going even up to realizing classrooms, medical centers, just to name those few.
He urged the population to give peace a chance as they await the coming of the second phase of the project.
One of the main resolutions was to ask government and partners to fund a new project for the population of the Northwest region. And a special team has been set to mature the project that is so far well studied.
The LIFIDEP project, during its execution in the region, saw farmers benefiting from training, transformation, and the marketing of livestock and fisheries production in the region. Jalenta Rosa Fanui, CRTV News, Bamenda.
A four-day workshop to design a professional development program on social and behavioral change with universities across the country is underway in Douala. The workshop, organized by the Ministry of Communication and UNICEF, brings together university lecturers who will adopt the content, define the profiles and selection criteria, and draft the terms for teachers. Details with Rebiatu Jingi Abdulaziz.
The growing demand for social behavior change interventions in the country is primordial, as so many societal ills are gradually implanting themselves. So to put an end to this phenomenon, the different university actors are mapping out strategies for SBC project to be implemented. Samuel Tanje Muka is a Dean of Programs and Academic Affairs in the Faculty of Social and Management Sciences, University of Boya.
We were out to see how we can sensitize the different universities and how we can influence the social behavior of Cameroonians.
They believe that with a good number of emergency and humanitarian situations in the country, like epidemics, there is a need for sensitization on the part of community heads so as to change the mindset of Cameroonians. Samuel Tanje Muka once again.
The various steps that will be put in place, first of all, how we select the people that will be trained, because it's a certification program. We will sensitize everybody to be conscious of these things. We don't live in dirt. You don't go to a bus stop and you are fighting to enter the bus instead of just queuing up. Also sensitize ourselves to be able to protect the rights of children.
Organizers say if this project is being accompanied by the government, The University of Yaoundé 1 will be the first to start implementing social and behavior change in their teaching curricula. Rabiatu Jingi Abdulaziz, CRTV News, Douala.
The roadmap of the 2024-2025 school year, as prescribed by the Minister of Secondary Education, Paulina Lova-Lyonga, has been outlined by the North Regional Delegation for Secondary Education, Benjamin Busa, to officials in the region. Details with Mercy Ashu-Nyabuyo.
The North region may have its realities and challenges, one of which is the will to improve on its poor performance at the 2024 official exams, but the prescription of the Minister of Secondary Education, Madame Pauline Nalova-Lyunga, is expected to serve here as a roadmap for secondary education officials who are attending the sectoral meeting in Garoua. Benjamin Busa is a North Regional Delegate for Secondary Education. We are also looking at digitalizing our educational system to boost our pedagogic activities. Henri Bomba is the Minister's Special Communication Officer on mission to the North.
We are here in Garoua to sensitize the educative community on two things, especially on what we call the unique identifier and what we call in French, l'outil de communication du rendement de l'élève. The unique identifier is this number which is going to be attributed to each student in each school. Second, public school and private school. That is, if you leave, let us say, Lycée de Djambutu, and you want to go to Lycée Bilingue de Guider, this unique matricule will follow you. The unique matricule is going to fight against fraud.
The Secretary General in the North Governor's Office, Joseph Demsou, is equally keen on what the players can do to improve on the quality of education. The education officials will equally listen to several exposés that provide strategies to improve on the region's performance.
The flag bearer of the Cameroon Paralympic team at the ongoing 17th edition of the Paralympic Games in Paris, France, will open a campaign in the event tomorrow. The African champion in Taekwondo will take on Elena Savinkaya, who is a neutral athlete in the less than 67 kilogram category. Her teammate Chemone Tekam-Guilain was eliminated in the games by Leano Espinoza from Peru today. In more sports news, players and staff of the under 20 women's football team of Cameroon are finalized in preparation in Bogota, Colombia, ahead of their opening match at this year's FIFA World Cup in that category that will take place in Mexico. The under 20 Lionesses are lodged in Group A of that tournament alongside Australia, Mexico, and the host Colombia. Ben Collins Nyeberwo reports.
After 1 week of acclimatization in Bogota, whose high points were two warm-up games against Venezuela and Millonarios Football Club Femenino, a first division team in Colombia, the under-20 women's football team of Cameroon are ready for the FIFA World Cup in that category. Coach Hassan Bala and team played a 1-1 draw with Venezuela and beat the Colombian top-tier side 4-2 ahead of their first group game against Mexico this Saturday at 9 p.m. one of the competition's openers. 3 days later, the under-20 Lionesses will face the host, Colombia, at 2 a.m. before completing their group stage campaign against Australia on the 6th of August, 2024. Cameroon will play all her three group matches at Estadio El Campín in Bogota. After the first stage of the competition, the four best third-placed teams from the six groups will advance to the knockout stage, along with the six group winners and six runners-up. Africa will be represented in that global soccer extravaganza by Morocco, Nigeria, Ghana, and Cameroon.
Ben Collins Nyeberwo bringing us to the end of the 10 p.m. news on the national station of the CRTV, read by Harrison Ashutiku.